blessed. There I am. Lord, we do pray and ask once more, the anointing of your Spirit be upon me and upon your word. May we hear what it is you're saying to us, and may we apply it by the power of your Spirit living within us. And all God's people said, amen. Well, that's a good word, blessed, isn't it? Now, here's my question, though, is, you know, have you ever considered what it would be like, indeed, or entertained the idea, I suppose, really, to be blessed by God? No, don't be super holy and say, I'm already blessed. Not to the level we're going to talk about here. Not to the level. So can you imagine what it would be like to be superly blessed? I do give Jesus hints as to, you know, how he could up the game, so to speak, a bit, you know, in my life. In terms of, I say, Lord, if I won the Euro Millions, you know, a decent amount of money, 150 million or something, 200 million, you know, you need that kind of money today with the price of things, you know. Lord, what could I do with that? Of course, I don't buy a ticket, so it's hard to win. So I would be hoping the Lord to just give me the numbers and then I could win, you know. But the Lord has never, ever entrusted me with that amount of money, and it's highly unlikely that he ever will. I don't think I'm able for it. But what would it be like to be blessed abundantly by God? No, we're talking here material blessings. Material, stuff that you can see. Actually, stuff that everyone can see. Would God do that? And the answer is, yes, he would. Several examples of it in the Old Testament. Incredibly blessed abundantly by God, materially speaking. We're talking here now, mega prosperous, mega rich. Not the kind of thing we normally talk about here, but blessed. The passage I have this morning for you is a man who was mightily blessed by God and blessed abundantly, materially speaking. We find his story, what we're looking at, I think it's Genesis 24. If it isn't, it's 26, right? It's one of those. We begin at verse 12. I'll just check here to make sure. I think I have the... It's 26. Genesis 26, starting at verse 12. I put it up here as well anyway, so you can see. When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain then he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep, goats, herds of cattle, and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father, Abraham. Finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away to Gera Valley, where he set up tents and settled down. That is sufficient for this morning. That's where we'll stop. Oh, one more verse. He opened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac restored the names Abraham had given them. So that's where we're at. 18. All right, that's good enough. So we have blessed, but hassled. Can God materially bless you? The answer is yes. But will it be hassle-free? Good question. It all depends on what's happening around you and the response of other people. Anyway, the positives are wonderful. He planted, no, there had been a famine in the land, right? He planted, and 100 times more. Nobody gets that kind of a turnaround in crops. So we're talking here about, you know, a barren situation. Your man plants and does crops everywhere. Everyone can see it. and it meant money, so he became rich. How rich? It says, very rich. Sign me up, Lord, is my answer to this, by the way. Very rich. And he also continued to grow in wealth. So it's one thing to have money, and you get up in the mount, but it doesn't go any further than that. Oh, no, no, no. He was wealthy, and he continued to grow. Now, that's what it means to be blessed. How many of would you say this morning, if the Lord was just looking, just in case he was, put up our hand and say, Lord, sign me up for that blessing. I'm your man. Now, some of you probably wouldn't do that, but I've put my name up there already, and I said, sign me up, Lord. It's all great until you get to verse 14. See, we're doing great up to then, aren't we? Because blessing is a good thing, and the Lord has done that and did this for this man. Now, if you have a problem with that, you must think back what Jesus could do with five loaves and a few fish. What Jesus could do with water and how he could turn it into wine. What he could do with miraculous fishing. The boys were fishing, caught nothing. So you're dealing here with a God that can do these amazing things, and there are times when he chooses to do that for reasons that benefit the kingdom of God and fulfill the purposes of God. And he does it. So can God bless you, materially speaking? You see my problem, who does it apply to? I've no idea. So that's where we're at. So we're doing grand so far. It's so being blessed by God would be hassle-free. Would you imagine that? Imagine having lots of money. A hassle-free life. Now, anyone that thinks, well, my wife doesn't think that way, but she's out of touch with the rest of the world, right? Hassle-free, but in the sense of you have no financial worries. In that way, there is no such thing as a hassle-free life. We acknowledge that. But you have one less worry when you have lots of money. Because if you have a problem and money can fix it, you're a good ways down the road for sorting it out. And especially you have lots of money, you can get the very best that money can buy. So in many ways, it can be a bit like that. The other thing that money does is, you know, the way you were just wondering, will we have enough to keep going or to pay our bills as the time goes on? If you have lots of money, you don't have to worry about that. You have a good deal of security. And that's one reason why people go after stuff. That's the very reason why they do. I'll have the money, I'll be sorted financially, and I'll have enough to keep going and maybe a bit, to spend beyond that. And people chase after that and work very hard to secure it. So, but you're at a level here of where you're actually mega rich and the Lord is blessing you. Who wouldn't want that? Well, as I said, I signed up for it, but I'm still waiting for the Lord's reply. Okay. So it's great until you get to verse 14, and I just realized now I used a different version on my screen than I have here in front of me, but we're close enough. Verse 14 says this: he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. The version I put up there is they became jealous. So one of the things that he had to deal with, he was blessed but hassled. And he was hassled by people who were envious of what he had. And what he had been given to him by God, by the way. So the enviousness and the jealousy was based simply because he had more and everything was working much, much better. And the sin of envy and jealousy, it was rampant in Ireland when I was growing up. Rampant. Any fella, God help any fella that could get a new car. Well, there was very few of them anyway. But if he did, he was the envy of the parish. Where did he get money for that? Where did he get that money? He only got it because, he is diddling the rest of us. An extortionate price. There was all of that. So anywhere there was any level of prosperity, envy followed. It has changed radically now, down through the years. But it was a major problem, jealousy. People are so jealous of each other, and that became a problem for, in this case, for Isaac. All right, what? So he was blessed materially, blessed with more servants, more crops, more flocks, more money. Well, whatever, you know what I mean? He was prosperous that way. Very blessed. But he also was hassled. Blessing and hassle are not meant to go together, are they? The idea of being blessed is you can avoid the hassle. How many of you would have thought this morning the idea of I'm blessed by God, so it means a hassle-free life, or at least less hassle? I would be hoping that blessing would lead to less hassle, to be honest with you. But, you know, I'm living in a different world to my wife, obviously. And, you know, I'm looking for less grief. Anyway, we move on. So, blessed but hassled. And then, the negative sides of the blessing. This has nothing got to do with Isaac. This has something got to do with the envy and the jealousy of other people. It is a remarkable thing. And it's recorded here. And so, verse 14, it says, they envied him. The version I put up was jealousy. People can be very envious and very jealous of anyone getting ahead of them, especially if they feel they're equal to them. Now, don't tell me that is not rampant in the workplace, in the neighborhoods of where we live. There is tremendous jealousy and envy. Look at the state of them. Where'd they get the money to do that? This is what our friend Isaac had to do. Verse 14. It says very clearly, so many flocks that the Philistines envied him. So what did that look like? What was the impact? Well, straight down meanness. If you have a man that's being prosperous, what they're going to do is find a way to make it awkward for him. Put hassle and put grief and put obstacles in the way. That's what people do. And we'll see how he gets on with that. We'll make things a little bit more difficult. So verse 15 says, so all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of Abraham, the Philistines stopped. Actually, they put dirt into them and they start to fill it up. Now, if you have lots of flocks, what do you need? Water. So they hit him at his most vulnerable point. They start of trying to pollute the wells and cover them in. That would put at least an end to his growth. And it could thin out the flocks. So the next thing he had to deal with, apart from jealousy, was downright meanness. Because other people were envious of him. They just did the dirty thing, the mean thing. The begrudgery came out of them and said, we'll sort him out. How you do that? Start throwing muck into those wells there and see how he gets on with his flocks. No. And that's precisely what they did. So that jealousy, meanness. Next thing he had to deal with was eviction. Can you imagine that? It goes on to say, so then Abimelech came to Isaac and he said, move away from us because you have become too powerful for us. Get out of here. You have no place here anymore. What had he done wrong? Absolutely nothing. The only thing that happened to him is that God decided, for the purposes of God, to bless him. He had hassle in the workplace. A lot of hassle in the workplace. A lot of aggro there. A lot of meanness and bitterness. And then, that obviously didn't stop the situation. He was still making progress and becoming powerful. So Abimelech came to him and says, you're going to have to get out of here. And he was the leader, the ruler at the time. So what does Isaac have to do? He has to move. Now, how many people would consider being blessed by God and being booted out, or in this case, being evicted, in the same sentence? The idea of being blessed and being booted out seem contrary to each other, don't they? Blessing is meant to bring stability. It's meant to bring security. And in Isaac's case, actually, he's still been blessed, but he's dealing with jealousy, meanness, and now he has actually got to move. Moving is not easy when you have that amount of servants and that amount of flocks, and it's a huge operation, logistically speaking. But he has no choice, he's been evicted. Move away from us because you are too powerful. So verse 17, so he moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gera and settled there. So do you know the next thing he had to do? He had to relocate. How would you feel that you have been blessed by God, prosperous, fellow knocks at your door and senior civil servant in government say, out. You're far too big for your boots. You have no place with us anymore. You're causing us hassle. You're causing us grief. 7 days, get out of here. And all you did was you were blessed by God. So he had to literally relocate. Literally up sticks. The choice to stay was no longer given. As far as they were concerned, he had outstayed his welcome, though he had done nothing wrong. The idea behind that, of course, to get him to relocate was he had to start all over again. And it's wanting to start once and build up. Very few people can start again because the momentum can go. The discouragement, disheartenment, that drive you have within you, you may only have for a once-off job, you know what I mean? Not easy to start afresh in a fresh location. It isn't easy. And that's precisely what he had to do. Verse 18, so he moved there, obviously. So Isaac opened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped and they had filled those up as well. So when he was relocated, what did he have to do? He had to go up and unblock the wells that the Philistines had blocked up and in the time of Abraham, who had been his father. So he was starting from scratch. In one place, they had stopped it up. The other place, there was no water, and he had to unblock the stuff. So he had to reopen, and he had to restore. All blessed by God. What I mean by that is, it was the blessing of God and the response of other people that caused all this. So how about sign me up now, Lord? Would I revise my situation now? Well, if it meant jealousy, meanness, eviction, having to relocate, and all that hassle, who needs that level of blessing? But that's precisely what Isaac had to do. All because of the meanness, the narrow-mindedness, and the vindictiveness of the people around him. And may I say, the Lord permitted it. But it was the individual response of people themselves, and it was their sin. But he was blessed and mightily blessed, but he was also hassled. When I hear of blessing, and it's good to hear about, I never hear of the hassle, do you? Being blessed by God is almost like a utopia. Well, Isaac would straighten me out if I was talking to him. A great thing, Pat. But it comes at a cost. Because not everyone is happy when God actually blesses. All right. Blessed but harassed. So what do you do with it? You see, John says, well, what application is he going to give us? The only lights like I have is a cat and a dog. And I turn on the water for the tap. I don't have to worry about wells. But Isaac gives us a very important life lesson. I'm sure you're probably ahead of me in this. He gives it in relation to how God operates and the way God comes into your life. People could see God working in the life of Isaac through the material blessing. It was very evident. That's where God was working at this stage of his life, through material blessing. He could see it in his workplace. They could see the growth. They could see the prosperity and all of that. and they did everything they could to dishearten him, to discourage him. So they got him, booted him out, and he had to relocate. He had to start all over in terms of getting a fresh water supply, do all of that. But he teaches us one very valuable lesson. When God is blessing us, and when there's hassle around us, Isaac teaches us one thing. Face the challenges and press on regardless. That is precisely what he did. He had no choice but face the challenges. And they came thick and fast for him. But he pressed on regardless. That is not easily done. But it is the key to how he maintained the blessing of God. Regardless of what they were doing around him, he pressed on. And in pressing on, that was a sign of faith in his life. He didn't allow all the hassle, the envy, the bitterness, being booted out, having to start and restore and do all over again. He didn't allow any of that to stop him. He faced the challenges such as they were, and he pressed on regardless. So many people just say, it is too much. I did it once, but I'm not going to do it a second time. And they walk away. Isaac didn't do that. And if the Lord is going to bless us, there is going to be challenges. And the challenges can actually defeat you. Very quickly, psychologically, emotionally, and even physically, or maybe all three together, and just say, it's too much hassle, it's not working, and I'm going to throw in the towel. Isaac says, no, do the reverse, face it and press on. And that's the word that the Lord has given me to give to whoever it is, maybe it is even to myself. Face the challenges and press on regardless. This is merely round one in Isaac's life. There's other battles yet to be fought. So, Lord, our prayer is, Lord, you choose us. You have blessed us in the spiritual realm, Lord, with every spiritual blessing, without a shadow of a doubt. And, Lord, some people you can trust, Lord, with vast wealth, vast growth and all of that. And, Lord, we have to leave that with you. And there may be people who will hear this, that you will bless that way, Lord, and have very influential lives, and, Lord, can be entrusted with great resources. But, Lord, regardless of where we're at, Lord, we simply ask, help us to face the challenges that we face, whether it's in the workplace, the home place, Lord, or whatever it is in life, and help us to press on regardless. So, Lord, we do not get disheartened, overwhelmed, discouraged, and Lord, and just throw in the towel. This we ask, Lord, so that your name would be honored, so that we would be able to finish the task and complete the course. With your help, we ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. We'll do part 2 next week, once he digs the wells, and we'll see what comes next.